Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Let's join our hosts, Scott Patton and Martin Batella, now.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. I'm Scott Patton, your co-host, along with Martin Batella. Hey, Martin, how are you doing today?
Doing good. And you, Scott?
I'm doing excellent.
All right.
Recently, we've been talking about obesity and you know, losing weight, and we've had some great conversations with Patrick over at Generation Plus, and it's really been fascinating. And I have to tell you, sort of as a reporting in, that my weight is dropping, and not only is it dropping, pairs of pants that I couldn't get into a month ago are fitting nicely, as opposed to
that is so nice,
being a problem to, you know, zip up or
okay,
everything else.
And so the main change that you'd made to your lifestyle is adding the load of enzymes we sent you, right?
That's right. Yeah, I've just been taking the Zymitol, and of course I have been taking Exula every morning to start my day. And what's amazing to me is, at night, before I go to bed, I've got this craving. I need to have a bowl of cereal or a piece of toast or a fruit or something. And I've noticed the last little while that I'm going to bed and I'm not hungry. I don't have that craving at all. So
that's a sure sign that your metabolism is changing, mm-hmm, and your insulin resistance is diminishing.
Oh.
There's one, you know, yeah, yeah. You know, there are essentially five main forces of illness, and impaired metabolism is one of them.
Right.
Maybe we could highlight that today.
Yeah,
I
think that would
talk.
Be a great topic for today. I've never actually heard of impaired metabolism, right? Usually everyone talks about having a low metabolism or a fast one, but what's an impaired metabolism?
Well, I guess that would be known as the low metabolism, right? Because people are used to, you know, like, you know, all these folks, they say, I used to be able to eat like a horse or like anything goes. I was in my 20s and or 30s even. But all of a sudden, something changes somewhere in the middle age and things don't work like they used to. For some, it arrives in the 30s. For some, in their 40s. But it does arrive.
Yeah. Oh, I had all of that a sudden, happen, for sure.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you start putting on weight in the middle. And then it actually gets worse. I mean, you can sort of start sweating or having your heart race or feel anxiety that sort of grabs you in the heart area, or shortness of breath. You know, like it sort of feels like you're going to have a heart attack.
Mm.
But that's not what that is. That actually is a problem, a hypoglycemia type of thing.
Oh, interesting.
You know, blood sugar swings, and it's actually caused by eating too many carbohydrates.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, let me make a list. The three biggest contributors to adding to your weight can be either insulin resistance, cortisol from the adrenals, or the insufficient supply of iodine to your thyroid, so your thyroid's running too slow. So the thyroid is sort of like the main regulatory body, so it's sort of like the gas in your car, you know, like you step on it and it burns gas good. The insulin, that's if you have insulin resistance, your body will not process the sugars correctly. The sugar will not get into the cells, and that causes problems of its own kind. And the third one is from the adrenals, where if you're not relaxing, if you're living too stressed, the cortisol levels go up, and it starts changing the overall metabolism, making you fatter. So now, where does this come from? Number one cause is sleep deprivation.
Oh, interesting.
So
that's
if
not
you stay
something
up too,
I would have thought of.
Yeah, if you stay up too late, you don't sufficiently relax overnight. You know, like the best hours for your body to actually, undo the effects of cortisol are between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. So, of course, if you don't get to bed until midnight or 1 o'clock, you have pretty much missed the window.
Yes, that's right.
So people will, you know, when you're young, it's not a big issue, but the older you get, the more of an issue it becomes. So going to bed early and getting up early works. It's a good thing. Second thing that's involved in that is you don't start eating. You know, like if you skip your breakfast, you don't kick up. You don't kick up the metabolism. You just allow it to coast on what it has in the stores, which sort of seems like, well, I'm skipping a meal. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. But it isn't, because what it does, it puts your body in a starvation mode. And so by the time you're going to eat later, you're going to be just ravenous. You're going to eat a larger serving, and you're going to try and make up for it late in the day, like after 10 p.m., with that bowl of cereal or an ice cream or chocolate bar or whatever it is that you just can't resist by then. For me, that would be a bag of chips. So anyway, I remember myself, you know, this is now almost 20 years ago. I was working in an office, and I was working hard and all of that. And all of a sudden, I started getting these heart pangs. And I thought, this is anxiety attacks. What's going on? And I started putting on weight in the waistline, and I started... having all these symptoms that I just described, you know.
Yeah.
And it was all caused by incorrect diet. I was addicted to sugars, to too much carbohydrates, and I was eating too much of it. And I was eating it at the wrong time. And as soon as I changed, I switched to the Fit for Life diet, all of that went away.
So what were you eating instead?
Well, I switched to mostly raw, you know, two-thirds or more of everything I ate was in raw states, salads and fruits. So right. It was uncooked.
Uncooked.
And in any one meal, there would be only one concentrated food. So my salad with rice, or salad with a piece of chicken, or salad with a piece of fish, or salad with spaghetti, or salad with a potato. So I was on salads all the time, right? Mm. And my morning meals were all raw fruit. So I would start my morning with, some watermelon or some other soft fruit, and progress into harder fruits like apples and pears, and finish up with a banana maybe at 10:30 or 11, and then I'd be ready for lunch. Yeah. All of this is described richly on the Life Enthusiast Co-op website in the health education under nutrition. We have a nutrition principles page there where people can explore the different principles. Not all of these things work identical for all blood types. Some people are more, how should I say it? It's much easier for them to be vegetarian. For others, it's actually appropriate to eat meat.
It's not a one-size-fits-all proposition is what you're
no.
saying. Although there are basics, right? I mean, we all need to drink water. It doesn't matter who you are. You need that, right?
Oh, yeah, water. We all need water. We all need air. We all need fat solubles, you know. Lecithin is the universal solvent for fat-soluble things in the human body. It's so underappreciated because, you need to carry the fat type of cells in and out of the cellular structures. And that the carrier is water. But the emulsifier, which is lecithin, is what you need to actually marry the fat cell or the fat molecule to the water molecule so it can be carried into the cellular structures. It's sort of like soap, right?
Right, right.
You cannot wash your soap, you cannot wash the dirt off your clothes without the use of your soap, because that's what will connect it to the water, and then the water will carry it away.
Yeah.
Well, the same thing works in the human body. You cannot move the fat in a medium like blood, because blood is mostly water-based. You need to actually emulsify it somehow.
Right.
And it's the lecithin that serves as the emulsifier in the body fluids.
Cool. Well, I want to get back to this impaired metabolism.
Oh, yes.
So,
okay.
How do we unimpair this metabolism?
Okay, so one is the stress from the adrenals. It's that, I mentioned that the adrenals will contribute to the cortisol and all of that. So you need to relax that away.
Right. So what you're saying is we're spending way too much time rushing around, going here, going there, when what we should be doing is spending a little bit of time sitting on a beach, enjoying a good book, or walking through the woods.
Any form of meditation and clearing your mind and undoing the stressful stuff, yes. Yeah.
So just take. So would you say, like, I mean, obviously, any amount of time is better than no time. But in terms of an ideal amount of time, would you say like 20 minutes a day of
20 minutes twice a day would be wonderful.
Okay.
You know, morning to just get going. You know, morning meditations are great because they set you up, and evening meditations are wonderful because they allow you to close up, shut down.
Right.
But you know, it could be anything really. Anytime it works, as long as you can, as long as you do it.
That's the key, is to do it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And that's a difficult thing, I think, for most people to do, because they're, you know, oh, we got to go get the kids, we got to run here, we got to do this.
Oh yeah,
we live such busy lives, but
yeah, I'm visualizing the relaxing meditation on your drive home.
Yeah, that's an oxymoron, isn't it?
Yeah, sorry about that.
Honk, honk, get out of the way. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, most of us have a very relaxing trip home.
Yeah, okay. So the second one in this equation is the insulin. Insulin is produced by the pancreas, and, you know, if your insulin levels are high, it's just, you cannot win this. It acts on your brain, acts on your brain and it increases the appetite, especially the appetite for sugar. That's why people have these dessert cravings. And as that happens, your LDL cholesterol goes up, it lowers the HDL, the good cholesterol, it raises the triglyceride, and it raises your blood pressure, which is all of the stuff that your doctor would test. And you'd say, oh, you know, you need to eat less fat, he'll tell you. Completely wrong. You need to eat less carbohydrates. This is where medicine has it completely wrong. They tell you, well, it's cholesterol, so you need to eat less cholesterol. And cholesterol is in fatty foods. But it's so wrong, because the cholesterol in the body is the response of your metabolism or your digestive system to carbohydrates. So the correct response is you need to put in superfoods in your diet.
And ah, okay.
Yeah, because you see what happens is what's it called again? I get lost in my conversations. The insulin will increase the homocysteine levels, and it will decrease your B6 and folate. Folate is the folic acid, which is the stuff that comes out of the green foods. So going back to the beginning, what you need to do is add a nice protein starter in your morning, like one or two teaspoons of something like the Exela superfood, and that gets you going in the right direction. And then you need to add to it omega-3 fats so that you can fix the cellular membranes, because when the cellular membranes become resistant to the insulin, they need to be repaired. And the best repair is the omega-3s. So that's something like flax oil or hemp oil or primrose oil or any one of the other omega-3 rich plant foods. And then you need trace minerals like chromium, vanadium, that regulate stuff. And you need magnesium. You know, magnesium is the mineral that helps regulate all of this metabolism.
Magnesium is something that just keeps coming up over and over and over again in our conversations as such an important component of having really good health.
Yeah, it's tragically underappreciated and misunderstood. You know, you hear in the popular culture, calcium, 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 supplement with calcium, keep your bones strong, all of that stuff.
Yeah, osteoporosis.
Right. But interestingly enough, it's the magnesium that binds the calcium in the bone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, as if we, I don't know, if you're trying to build a bridge, you need to have both the bricks and the mortar. Well, the calcium is like the bricks. Magnesium is like the mortar. If you don't have the mortar, the whole thing will fall apart again.
Oh.
Right. Anyways, yeah, so the magnesium, you know, magnesium is deficient in all the foods you eat. There's just, you know, it's been measured and tested over and over and over. There's just not enough magnesium.
Well,
80% of Americans are deficient. 60% are severely deficient in magnesium.
You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Podcast, restoring vitality to you and to the planet. Part 2 of this very, very interesting episode will be aired.